Talk about your false starts to the day. So I've got this new thing now where I'm working from home on Wednesdays. It's a break from traffic, which I kind of need because I lose roughly 10 hours a week that way. And last night I was getting ready to set up the office and I forgot my laptop. So I had to go into my office, grab my laptop, and then come on back here. But then another false start. I got up at 5 to do my exercise, and I remembered, oh wait, I'm supposed to be going running with my running partner this afternoon. So doubling up on the elliptical and running, and I'm not ready to do that yet. I was doing it once upon a time, and it was fine. Right now, I'm just trying to get back into a groove of regular exercise. So crazy start to the morning. I haven't had a cup of coffee yet. I did want to make a quick shout out though to Indiana Jim, who I had the pleasure of running with last night in Destiny. I got all my word count in, and I said I'm logging on. I'm going to get in some Destiny. Ran with Indy, and Indy said, "You know, I've been listening to the Dog Days of Podcasting Tea, and it's nice to have the Survival Guide to Fantasy back." Nice little throwback to the early days, 2005, baby, 2005. I told him, I said this has been a real challenge, but it's interesting to figure out what I'm going to be talking about the next day, because today was in fact something that's been working on my last nerve in the current book I'm reading. And yeah, I think right now I'm just spite reading it. I want to get to the end so that I can have a formulated opinion and then tell people in private what it is. I'm gonna put that in my back pocket for time, how to carry yourself when you're talking about when people ask you a question like, what's the worst book you've ever read? That's a loaded question. They're looking to start up some stuff, and I just think how you present yourself and how you present yourself when you're talking about other people and their works, especially if you don't like them, that carries merit. But that's not really what I want to go into today. What I want to go into today is character development. In particular, what I want to talk about is making characters that are so crash hot awesome that they can do no wrong, you know. And when you start really getting into characters like that, immediately people bring up Superman, they bring up Cal, Clark Kent, however you want to call him. And honestly, I think that's a real disadvantage to Superman. Superman does have flaws. He is not the perfect godlike person that he is made out to be. And I'm not just talking about the kryptonite weakness. I'm talking about how, as a character, he is flawed. And as a character, he embodies hope. And this is something I think Zack Snyder is missing in his big screen interpretation of Superman, but I also think that Superman is that he's not just super; he's a man as well, which means he has all the frailties that come with it. Well, for one thing, he can't be everywhere at the same time. You know, he can't. He cannot. He cannot be there when everything is going down at once. The world is a big place, and one man cannot police it or protect it. Now, does that mean that Cal is not a good guy to have on your team? Absolutely. I mean, he's the tank. He's your tank. He's the Titan. In fact, if I were to use Destiny terms and put them in perspectives of superheroes, I would say Clark, Cal, Superman, he's your Titan, and then you've got the Hunter. That's Bruce. That's Batman. That's easily Batman. But for the CW fans out there, I would argue to Oliver, the Green Arrow. He would also be a hunter, which leaves the Warlock. So who's the Warlock? That would be either Constantine. if not Constantine, it would be Diana. It would be Wonder Woman. And the thing that I've noticed the more I get into Destiny and the more I get into playing Destiny, don't worry, I'm coming back to writing, is, yeah, you can do an all-Hunter team, you can do an all-Titan team, but it really is the most fun when you've got a Hunter, a Warlock, and a Titan, and you're doing something together, or if you have a mix of people. Recently, when I went on a raid, I did the hard level of the 390 Crota raid, and for my Destiny gamers out there, you know what I'm talking about. But I think I was the only Warlock on the crew, and everybody was cool with that. We had Hunters, we had Titans, and then there was the lone Warlock, and I was Nova bombing stuff, and it made a difference. You know, it made a difference. But it's that balance. And each character, you know, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, they have frailties. They're not perfect characters. They don't know everything. And in some cases, when they don't know something, that's where the drama occurs. And in my current read, the lead character, not only is the lead character kind of a douche nozzle, but he knows everything. He absolutely knows everything. He spits it out like an almanac. And there is no, whenever he faces the challenges that he faces in the game, it always comes back. I'm going to get the sloppy writing in another show. It comes back to where he goes, "Oh, I mastered this at this particular time." Da, 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 da. It's ridiculous. The book has now reached a point where it stopped being a spank fest, and it's now just it has now crossed over into a line of utter ridiculousness, because the character knows that much. So at this point, someone might argue, okay, well, what about the MacGyver situation? Okay, now the difference with MacGyver, which was, I think that was something that I also kind of, I didn't care for with the MacGyver character. I think a lot of the reason why MacGyver worked so well as a character was because of the charm of Richard Dean Anderson, but it was a little overly convenient that MacGyver could literally just take this, and figure out some magic widget that could get them out of a situation. It was neat to see. And it was even cooler to watch the Mythbusters prove that, yes, you could really do this. I still do find those characters to be fun to play with, but even then, MacGyver, the hook with MacGyver, and that was the hook about his character, was that it was all about okay, what's he going to come, improvisational science is he's going to pull out of his butt to get him out of this situation. And if that's the hook of your character, then that's going to play into the storytelling. But this particular character, like I said, I don't want to necessarily dish on the actual book and the author because it's going to come across as petty. But I will leave it at this. The book I'm reading is a fantasy, and the character is on a quest, and it just seems like he knows everything about this quest. A good way to describe it is: it's picture you going on on your very first dungeon crawl, okay, in Dungeons and Dragons. Picture yourself going on a dungeon crawl, and you've got all the lore and all the magic items, and you know exactly, you have everything that you need to get through this level of the dungeon, and you're starting off. I mean, this is a level one dungeon, and you've already got everything you need. See, there's no challenge, there's no tension, and when you embody your character with zero frailties and all of the knowledge that they would need to accomplish something, there is no tension. There is no challenge, because you know, oh, this character obviously is a master in this, so they're going to be fine. I mean, even when you watch Enter the Dragon, you know, Bruce Lee is amazing in that. But there are points where you're like, is he really going to pull this off? And that is where really good characters and really good storytelling comes from. It's about the adventure the character is undertaking, and also the growth of the character. And if your character is max level in everything that you're doing, then what's the point? So when you're developing your characters, try to avoid that God complex, that human almanac. Just make them decent. Try to make them decent people. They're not all going to be decent people. You know, you got to have your protagonist and your antagonist, obviously. And I mean, you know, sure, you want, but even with your villains, you don't necessarily want mustache twirling villains. You want to have villains. There was a great line that I remember hearing about villains and development of villains, which was, when you ask a villain, are they the bad guy? They're going to say no, because in their minds, they're not the bad guy. They're the good guy. And it's that sort of complexity that leads to interesting characters, which leads to better storytelling. So try to avoid, you know, having human almanacs as your heroes. Taking another page from film, Hitchcock dealt with normal guys thrown into extraordinary situations, normal men and women that find themselves in over their heads. That's a great starting block for your stories and your characters. So now I got to go set up my home office. Welcome to the Dog Days of Podcasting.